This week we're talking about Captain Marvel. Which one? Mm-hmm. That's right.
Correct.
That marvelous captain.
Yeah. The one we all know.
Where do they get those marvelous captain? Captain Scarlet. And the Mysterions.
I do remember Captain Scarlet. Mm-hmm. You know, but now we're doing a Captain Scarlet episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say is, split!
Yeah!
Sam!
Captain, my captain. Oh, Captain, my captain.
She's okay. Go to the nurse. Seize the day.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Hey, welcome to a brand new episode of Zero Issues.
Yep.
We are your hosts. I'm Kyle.
I'm Bri.
And I'm Merc.
And together, we...
are half a captain.
Yeah, we're a capt.
Are we an N?
We're a capt man.
Yeah. What, between the three of us, we're half a captain. That's pretty...
That's pretty sad.
Well.
Y'all.
Why? Y'all. According to who? Why is that sad? Explain why that's sad.
I mean, you gotta work your way up to captain, and we put in no effort. So, yeah. I mean, we're doing pretty good.
Does it mean that we're just a bunch of privates?
Let's go to the warm-up.
Genitals.
Welcome to the warm-up.
Okay, in the warm-up, you know, we do like to read this now, mm-hmm. when we're read a
we
comic.
We occasionally read comics.
We occasionally read comics and then recommend them to each other. Mm-hmm. And you, the listener. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing, this is sort of a, it's not really a play this now, it's more of a, like a play this.
This has happened.
Yeah, like a play this.
Play if, this wow.
If you have a reasonable opportunity.
Play this sometime.
Play it sometime.
Play it if you want.
And it's funny enough, we mentioned
play
that.
It again, Sam.
Oh.
Just thought, yeah.
A few episodes ago, it was mentioned that there was a new Hellboy game, which I didn't know or forgot about entirely. And my wife actually, I think it was like slightly on sale and bought that for me on the Switch.
That's crazy that it was on sale because it came out like...
Yeah. It wasn't like crazy on sale.
Yeah.
But it's also not crazy expensive in the first place. I think it's like like $25-$30, something like that.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's not like, you know, you're not, it's not like a $70-$90 game as most of them are these days. Yes. So it's kind of a budget title. And that's why I'm kind of not
And that's why he's not recommending it.
No, that's, you know what I mean, for the price point.
Because it's a big bundle of garbage.
Yeah, and Hellboy has appeared, I think Hellboy's video game history, I think there was a PS1 game.
I know there was a PS2 game.
Yeah,
oh,
two or
right,
three.
Right, the PS1 / PC game.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it was like a sort of adventure RPG.
Something like that, I think.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, the PS2 or 3 or something
yeah,
like
or
that.
It was like a there beat was em a, up.
Yeah, it was kind of more like, was that movie-based or comic-based? I don't recall.
It was comic-based, but it was like, you know, it sort of used like the trappings of the movies. I think they got Ron Perlman and Doug Jones. And I cannot remember her name. Selma Blair.
Ah, yes.
Yep.
Cool.
And of course, Lowell from Wings as Lobster Johnson.
Got to get back in the fight.
No.
It's unfinished business.
He also made an appearance as like a DLC character for Injustice 2, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool. And then there's this one, which is Hellboy Web of Word. It's spelled W-Y-R-D. So I thought it was
weird.
I thought it was weird, but in the game, it is Word. They say it as Word.
Word dog?
It's, you know, the bird is the word, and the word is the bird? Anyway... So you got the word is like another dimension, basically. So the whole thing.
Oh, that sounds weird.
The game
it's
itself.
Just noises, the yeah. show.
So the game is like a beat 'em up, kind of a roguelike beat 'em up.
Yeah.
So, like, how it works is there's kind of the hub area. So it kind of just drops you into a BPRD mission. Somebody is, one of the BPRD agents is like, it trapped in the word, and Hellboy's got to go in there. It's like another dimension.
You gotta go battle
Sneasleys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's, there's this whole thing where you kind of like descend, to use this thing to sort of descend into another dimension called the word.
Mm.
So he goes in there to save him, and then they got to like investigate stuff, and it's tied to like this old, like, house mansion, castle-y kind of a thing that they've sort of set up a base of operations because that's how it connects to that place. So it kind of just drops you in the middle of it, and he's in the, you know, this kind of supernatural, other dimension-y kind of a mission.
Yeah.
So it, which kind of tracks for, like, a Hellboy thing. Like, often the story is just, like, he's on this mission, it kind of just drops you in it, and you figure out what's going on as you're there.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it's, it has that going for it. It doesn't have a lot of, like, characters you'd expect. Like, you don't have Abe, I don't think you have, not as far as I played, anyway. Yeah. So they're kind of, like, just generic-y, random BPRD people, but that happens, too.
Yes. Yeah, that happens a lot.
Exactly.
I'm Phil Coulson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Phil Collins.
I'm the fill-in guy.
I'm Phil Guerrero, and I cut my hair on TV.
Oh. Will Hellboy battle the snit? Find out.
When Hellboy's claws came out, it just went snit.
One thing to note, though, is the voice acting, there's a few things that it really has going for it. Art direction.
Mm-hmm.
This game looks like a Mignola comic.
Yeah.
Does it? Okay.
Well, okay.
All I've seen of it is just you sent us that one screenshot, and I'm like, that looked like really weird thin line art.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that doesn't look Mignola-y, but it could be just the way that
kind of cell shaded, where it's like, it's very flat with lots of use of, like, heavy use of shadows.
Yes. Yeah.
But because it's all procedurally generated, like, you're not going to have a perfect Mignola.
No.
But I mean, they emulate, as far as, like, Hellboy himself looks like, like a Mignola drawing, and, like,
he's got his slopey ass shoulders.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's shoulders. He doesn't have any shoulders.
Yeah.
Right.
Neck to hips.
Yep. Yeah, and, like, the word area, which you spend most of the time in, is kind of like, it's not as dark. Like, the sky's kind of like this light purpley kind of, like, you know what I mean? But it's all very, it has, like, the stark colors and, like, the thick shadows and stuff. So it's, as far as Hellboy games that emulate the Mignola style go, this one kind of does.
Yeah.
So that's a plus.
Much more than the other ones.
Yeah.
It's the cake.
And again, as far as Hellboy games go, it doesn't take much to be the best one.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know? And the Hellboy himself, I didn't realize this until we started playing, is played by Lance Reddick.
Yeah.
Which is...
Really?
Passed very... quite recently. Yeah. This is one of Lance Reddick's last roles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so which... And I thought did a good job. I enjoyed him as Hellboy.
He's got a great voice.
Oh, for sure.
Trying to picture it as a Hellboy would be interesting.
A lot of times, you know, it's like, oh, it's Lance Reddick, but it's like, but sometimes he's like more relaxed and like, yeah, and sometimes a little more like,
a little nuance, yeah.
Yeah.
Look sweet, eyes bright.
Okay.
Writhing corpse worm, freed from sight.
Really don't like the way this is going. Can we just skip to the part where you attack me?
Yeah, and as far as the game go, again, it's not... I'm not going to say it's a great game. I'm not even going to say it's necessarily good, depending on your...
Okay.
I judge it based on a couple of things. Is it, like, you know, playable and fun enough to play? And I had a good time. You know, the style looks quite cool. And especially, it is like a budget title, because I think it's about 25 US, 30 bucks-ish. Yeah,
that's fairly inexpensive.
Where, like, you know, most, like, big games... I'm not sure how long it is yet, but... I was relatively satisfied. I would say, like, you know, if you're unsure if it ever goes on sale for, like, half off or something, why not? You know what I mean? If you want to be Hellboy and you want to, like, you know, go in, it's like a roguelike. So you kind of go in, it's like a dungeon crawl almost kind of a thing where you go to this other place and there's, like, areas that open up. You, like, open up a little bit like a rock thing that you got to smash through to get through, like, a door you got to go through, and then it'll, like, generate enemies.
Yep.
And they're all, like, kind of... design Mignola-y, you know what I mean? Everything looks kind of cool. It's not the most deep game. It is kind of repetitive. Enemies could be kind of repetitive. It doesn't have the most depth to it. It's kind of like, you know, you could maybe call it like an introductory roguelike a little bit. And I've never really played a ton of those, so that was kind of all right. That was kind of like something I was ready for. And, you know, you finish a mission, you go up, you can, you know, you get your gun and you get your charms and stuff, and you can kind of upgrade them and get new weapons and stuff like that. But I mean, most of the time I was just, you just want to beat up, you know, demons and weird creatures with the red fist of doom, you know? And you can definitely do that.
Big old fist
of doom. And it's like kind of a third person, it feels like it's, the way the fighting is, it feels a little different where it's kind of like you're up close with him sometimes, and you, like, dodge, and, you know, the enemies will sort of wind up a bit, and you sort of know how you gotta fight with them a little bit. You kind of gotta strategize a bit, but you really don't have to do too much, because it's not overly complex. It's not overly difficult either. Right.
Okay.
So I mean, you know, so it's not, again, it's not, if you're a fan of the genre, you're probably not going to get a ton out of it. But you know, if you're casual with the genre and you like Hellboy, mm-hmm. you like Lance Reddick, and you know, it's affordable, I think it's worth a shot. I think it's not bad. It's the best Hellboy game, which means nothing.
The best Hellboy game, Raven's Bright Colic. Which means nothing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was developed by Good Shepherd Entertainment, which is a Dutch company, which has been around for a while. So this is all, I think this is all kind of smaller developers, smaller publishers, and, you know, likely had a small budget to produce, and it has a small price. So, I mean, I grade on that kind of a curve or whatever, where I'm not expecting it to compete with, like, Spider-Man 2.
Right.
Wasn't Dark Horse just purchased by a gaming company?
Yeah, Embracer Group, wasn't that? That was them? Yeah. I don't know if this is connected to that. Huh. Might be. I don't know.
Yeah, no idea.
But, yeah, it's not going to blow your socks off, necessarily, but it is.
You're going to put them on.
Yeah.
It might take your shoes off and place them gently on the ground.
Place
them
to
the
ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of basic.
Leave your socks on, though.
But again, it's not the most expensive thing, and I think that some comic stuff might actually live pretty well in that little area. Like, not everything has to be like a big bloated whatever. Totally. Sometimes it can be a quicker, smaller game that can, and as long as it does what it does competently,
yeah,
that's okay. And I don't regret it. It's I think it's worth checking out, maybe if you get a good deal. And I think Lance Reddick as Hellboy is worth the price of admission.
There we go.
Okay, so definitely buy it, Bri says.
Yes.
Moving on.
Yeah, and if you don't like it, that's Kyle's fault.
Yep. I'll take it.
What the f***?
Captain's Marvels.
Oh, I love Captain Marvel. Yep.
Captain's... Which Captain Marvel?
Captain Marvel.
Which one?
Captain Marvel. Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
Vicky Bale. Yeah, so this week we are talking about the long history of Captain Marvel, the many, many characters who have gone by the name Captain Marvel, and why. And just sort of talking about...
It runs through different companies,
yeah,
and a lot through the same... Like, Marvel, of course, has the bulk of them.
Yes.
But not all of them.
Should we go back to the beginning?
A revolving door with that name at Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the beginning. I have mine somewhat chronologically, but not.
Dateline, 1940.
Dateline, 1940. Your mom's just been born.
But I'm going to have to do the math there, because.
No, I don't know.
Might be when my mom was born.
Could be. Obviously, the first one being.
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Is, from Fawcett Comics.
The one that they call the Captain now.
Yeah.
He's just called the Captain.
It's better than, like, the name Shazam for him, it was always the dumbest thing in the world, because he can't say it.
Yeah.
He can't say it without turning into a little kid. What the...
I mean, maybe they should just make it so that he can say it.
Yeah, I guess you could. Or they could just...
You gotta have a certain intent when you say it.
Yeah. The funny thing is, apparently originally...
Shazam!
And this name has been used for all their other characters, including variants of this character, but Captain Thunder was apparently what they were going to call him before they... settled on Captain Marvel. You could just use that. You could.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah. Too bad. So, DC sued Fawcett over a lot of stuff, saying that, you know, Captain Marvel was a ripoff of Superman, even though Superman was in many ways a ripoff of Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel flew before Superman ever did, and that was one of the things DC
was
like,
how was that? This guy came after.
This guy flies, just like our character, who...
Didn't fly.
This guy has... a secret identity. And it's like, yes, he has a completely different secret identity where he physically transforms into a different character, into a small child.
Yeah.
But basically, DC sued Fawcett to the point where Fawcett was like, okay, we're not going to make any more comics with this guy.
But so you got to understand the way, the timeline of this.
Right.
And the pocket of the universe that was going on at the time that it's like, Superman was the big thing that had started, and like that, there hadn't really been superheroes like we know superheroes.
Yeah,
there'd been like the Shadow and whatever, the pulp and paper mill things.
Yeah, those.
So, for another superhero character to come out, that's a big guy that kind of fly. Like, I get that there's the similarity. Now we don't even think twice
because there's a million of those. Yeah,
right,
but.
oh, a guy in a cape that flies? Whoa. Time
and to then you call also the lawyers.
Is he bad?
No one's going to get tired of that.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You also have to realize that, like, Superman was kicking ass at the start of his reign.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel came out, and it was actually doing better sales and was much more popular, like, as that kind of came up. So, really...
with the kids in particular, I mean, that's, like, the ultimate... Especially at the time, like, is there any better, like, you know, escape, you know, kind of a power fantasy?
A kid that can just say a word and become that superhero. Yeah. Yeah, totally. So, but you got to think, like, that's really, read between the lines, that's why DC was pissed off and was like, you're not actually infringing on our copyright, but you're taking our sales and you're doing better sales than us. So,
so, hence, can't have that.
Yeah, so, like, they bound them up legally for years.
Right.
To the point where they couldn't keep battling it, so they lost.
Yeah.
And then that name just kind of floundered.
Yeah, so one of the ones, you know, Miracle Man, who was formerly known as Marvel Man, was actually, they were reprinting Captain Marvel comics in the UK, and, you know, then they couldn't because Captain Marvel as a character didn't exist anymore, so they thought, we're just going to tweak the character slightly, we're going to call him Marvel Man, and a completely different character. It's just Captain Marvel.
It's just knockoffs all the way down.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's another Captain Marvel.
There is.
Yeah. It's everybody's favorite.
Everybody's favorite. Good old Mr. Roger Winkle.
Yeah. What a name.
Yeah. What a... Merc, do you want to talk about him? Because I think he's your favorite. For sure. The year was 1966.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you don't want to talk about him, we could just split.
1966, 1967.
Yeah.
He's an alien android.
Mm-hmm. AA.
I'm glad he's doing well. I'm glad that he's...
Hello, my name's Roger W.
Somewhat like the original Superman was sent to Earth to escape nuclear blasts, like some sort of apocalyptic thing.
Whatever.
Yeah. So, and then his name, was Roger Winkle. Who had a young ward.
That's his space name.
That's his space name.
His Earth name was Tony Todd. It's crazy.
He had a young ward named Billy Baxton.
Mm-hmm. Like, wow.
Yeah.
And also, Roger Winkle was a reporter. Also.
Sometimes.
I'm a reporter.
Sometimes he was a teacher.
Yeah.
And he sometimes
he was the actor Henry Winkler.
Sometimes he was a space cowboy. Sometimes a gangster of love.
And he also lived in Riverview, USA. Yeah. So somewhat like Riverdale.
Like a small town.
Yeah.
But, you know, what else?
But like Riverdale. So he's like, it seems like it's borrowing a little bit from a bunch of different things to make this thing.
That's just hilarious, though, that, like, you know, Captain Marvel, like Billy Batson, Captain Marvel was too close to Superman and they had to, like, sue, and they literally legally won. When this is like literally from another planet, literally a reporter, way more taken from Superman here, but okay.
Although
aside from the powers,
the 60s,
the powers were a little bit different,
just a tiny bit.
So,
how so?
I mean, Superman's had a lot of powers, you don't know.
That's true. This
one is true. Issue there somewhere.
Maybe there was an issue where this happened.
They did it just to stamp out this,
he would yell, "Split," and his limbs would fly off, so kind of like. Fall off arm boy?
Arm fall off boy?
Yeah.
Is it fall off arm boy or arm fall off boy?
I think it's arm fall off boy.
I think it's arm fall off.
Arm trickle off.
But it's not just an arm falling off. It's like...
Legs.
Like any part of the body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that can be controlled to be shot at the villain.
He can rocket his limbs off into somebody's face. So, and then he's just like a torso with a head just... I gotta like read this.
Like a little MODOK.
Does he like float or does he just like fall on the ground and can't move?
fuck.
I don't know. But yeah, that lasted literally 5 issues, right?
5 issues. All it was.
And then I think DC.
So this was
MF
Publishers. Yeah, DC had a little.
I don't know if it was DC necessarily. I mean,
I think it was because. DC was, it would be Marvel.
Yeah,
because you gotta look at that happened in 1966. Yeah. 1977. Or 1967, rather.
Yeah.
That's when another character came out. This one, you know.
Under the Marvel moniker.
Yes.
So, So, I think.
And then they trademarked
some sort of, like, weird. Yeah.
And they, I think they gave him, like, $5,000 or something.
Yeah. They basically paid them off to, like, or so.
I think a lot of it's not, like, on the record, but enough people have talked about it that, like, that's.
There's five issues. We need to use this name. here's some money. Yeah. Please don't do that.
You know, I guess like you're literally your company called Marvel. You're like, I don't. You're not going to want somebody else with a book with Marvel in the title. I mean, even if you weren't the first to do it, it's comic book and the law in those days was copyright law was
the law
something
overall.
Else.
Yeah. So next came up one of the more consistently considered Captain Marvels was Captain Marvel or Mar-Vell.
Yes.
From Marvel.
Good old Marv.
the Marvel Kree character. He had that bond with Rick Jones. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of them through the years.
Rick Jones keeps popping up.
He just always is there.
But he was...
If there's a fridge for him to steal food out of, he will be there.
You got to be careful with that fridge, Rick. Somebody's girlfriend might end up in there.
Couch hopping Jones.
Well, I mean, like, Rick has Punky Brewstered himself a few times.
You mean he got adopted by an old man?
Yeah.
But let's actually go back a second.
Okay.
Because there is another one. There's Fawcett, Shazam.
Yeah.
But there's also, and that's Billy Batson.
Yeah.
Freddie Freeman, also as Captain Marvel Jr. Yes. So he did use that name too at that time.
Yeah.
So there is two at that time.
Somebody's got to inspire Elvis's outfits. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Plus, later on, I did, and this is in my list later on, Mary Marvel is part of that Marvel family.
Right.
And apparently for a short stint, this is going ahead to 1990, but it's a miniseries by Jerry Ordway where she used the name Captain Marvel as well.
Oh. Wasn't that recently a thing in the comics for a bit, too?
There was.
Could have been, yeah.
Not using Captain Marvel, but it was like, I think Billy was cut off from the powers, and it was like the new champion of Shazam.
Right.
Which was just like a short four-issue miniseries. Yeah, but yeah. I think it had, I want to say it was either Doc Evan Shaner or, no, I think it was Doc Shaner who did the art. But I mean, that Shaner and also Chris Samnee. I'm just like, they could just draw Shazam, Captain Marvel forever, I would be very happy.
Yeah. But yeah, so then you go back to Mar-Vell.
Yes.
I didn't go into the full history. He's got a very complicated
history. He does, but it's like, maybe it's because they're comics that I never read. Maybe it's because they existed a long time ago. I found it boring. I've read The Death of Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it's because I just had never had any attachment to the character, but... Yeah. I did find it, like, this is dry and, like, kind of boring, and, like, the Skrulls show up, and they're like, you're our favorite enemy, and we love you. And then he dies.
Yeah.
And then they stab him. Us? Good night.
Those Skrulls, always so sundery.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is, like, in the death of Captain Marvel. This was, like, an actual
character. I would argue it's the most important thing he ever did.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, kind of.
Because he didn't die.
Also creating Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
Right.
In a way. But
I mean, I would argue that she created herself.
Depending on which origin.
Yes.
He's just like a man. He was present and took credit for it.
Oh.
But like the thing that he died of cancer.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, die fighting, giant.
And it was an interesting thing. It was an interesting twist that you actually have... For the most part, a character stay dead. They've had little dabbles in zombie Marvel coming back or Marvel coming back alive.
When he did come back from something called the Cancerverse, which I feel like that's a little tone deaf. Look, there were other characters who came from the Cancerverse, but also he came from the Cancerverse, and it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Just like, did anybody read this? Like, like anybody in editorial go, Cancerverse, eh?
So they're all like just crab monsters? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's cancer. We feel that cancer is playing very well in that demographic.
Mm.
Yeah. Horrible.
Anyways.
So, yeah. That being one of the major Marvels, Mar-Vell. Yeah.
No, he's a captain.
Captains.
He's a captain.
Crunch it.
Who wants to take the next one?
Well, going from there, the next one, I think the next Captain Marvel would be Monica Rambeau.
Yep.
You are correct. Who, 1982.
Yep. Who didn't have any, no real direct relation.
Nope. Mm-mm.
Had like their, you know, the...
I think it was supposed to be like the media dubbed her
Yeah.
Captain Marvel. She's like, okay.
Yeah. Take it. Yeah. Which is fine. And again, I'm a fan of Monica. I like the original.
I'm a Santa Monica.
Was it like a silver costume, I guess?
It was white, shiny. Yeah. Depending on who drew it. White, black and white kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or silver.
Yeah. It's like the whole debate over Storm's costume, whether it was black or white or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did the best they could with Colors on newsprint. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, who was, you know, under that name for, I don't know, several many years anyway, led the Avengers at one point.
Yeah.
And, Wait, what? I had no idea.
Won't stop telling everybody about it in Next Wave.
Anyways, Stern and Romita created her and apparently used Pam Grier as a model.
Yes, I have heard that.
Yeah.
And, you know, gone by different names, gone by Spectrum and Photon and Pulsar. And Photon actually ties into the next Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Genisvel. So Captain Marvel's partner, Elysius, cloned part of Captain Marvel and then used those cells to inseminate herself and had this beautiful baby boy named Genisvel who...
So this is actual Marvel clone son.
Yes. It's his clone son. You know, grew him at... or aged him up... but he still sort of had a young mind.
Just baked him at 350 for...
yeah. Well, it's like, you know, I could bake him at 300 for 20 minutes, but instead I'm going to do 400.
I just put a toothpick in him. Yeah. And he wasn't 6 minutes.
We don't got a lot of time. We got. Listen, if you don't hurry up, there's going to be another Captain Marvel.
The Hulk is coming to dinner, so...
Yeah.
Hungry hippos.
So he didn't grow up traditionally. He was aged quickly. He thought Star Fox was his dad. He went nuts when he gained cosmic awareness.
And he actually destroyed the universe.
Yeah, but then it got better.
Yeah, he recreated it, though, so it's all good. It's fine. It's all good.
So he recreated it.
And he was also connected to Rick Jones.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Another one.
He had a different sort of relationship with Rick Jones, but he was also connected with him.
Yep. It was like they had the Nega Bands, and if it do that, it would Captain Marvel and Genis would take over, and then Rick would go into...
Well, he went to the Microverse, which is different from when he did it with Marvel, where he went to the Negative Zone.
Oh, right.
Because they were all about the Microverse in those days.
Gotta love it.
You know, he recreated the universe. He made a sister for himself, Phylavel.
Right.
Who showed up in the last Guardians movie.
Right.
And we'll talk about her.
And we'll talk about her, yeah.
Sure. But one other thing he did, there was his evil son from the future came back and he's fighting him. And this Captain Marvel, Genisvel, is like, well, I'm just not going to have a son. And that beat him. That beat the guy. He like phased out of existence. He's like, he basically Bill and Ted'd him where he's like, well, you know what? I'm just not going to have I'm just going to pull out.
Wait, when were you?
I'm going celibate, Daddy.
So you were conceived what month? Yeah. Oh, November. Well, guess what? I just invented No Nut November, and you don't exist.
And one other thing about him, he also went by when he showed up. His name was Legacy. That was the name he went by. Then he met a future version of himself who was going by Captain Marvel, and he's like, okay, I'm going to be Captain Marvel now. Later. He decided he was going to be Photon because fuck Monica Rambeau.
So there's another bit in between that because he was like, I'm going to take Captain Marvel. But like Monica Rambeau was still Captain Marvel at this point. And she was like, okay, you know what? You've got like the lineage.
I get it.
I get it. I'll give it to you.
It's like, I'll be Photon. No.
And then he's like, then he's like, I'll be Photon.
I'm Photon. Now I'm Prune Tracy.
It's like, what?
You know, he's got like the cosmic awareness.
Now on Monica.
You got cosmic awareness,
but no awareness of like social cues. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So then from that one, you already mentioned Phylavel.
Yeah.
It's kind of like.
Phylo pastry? Like pastry? That's an O. Pastry. That's an O.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah, so that's his sister that he
created.
Yep.
Let's not unpack this too much. This is a weird family.
It is.
I mean, she did challenge him for the Captain Marvel name at one point.
Yeah.
And take it.
They played Uno.
Yeah. She had a reversing card.
It was, they also, like, went on a road trip. They had Rick Jones drive, and they were just playing Uno in the back seat. They wanted to have their childhood growing up, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, they went to the Mount Rushmore.
Oh, okay.
They were kind of unimpressed.
I'm thinking, like, twins in the backseat of a car. They went to Witch Mountain?
Oh! See, that would have been better.
And then they went to the Gamma Bond test site?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Rick Jones, no!
And that's how he became the Hulk. Mm. He's the Hulk now?
Yeah. So from there, we get into kind of the start of some, not that this is.
Are we still talking about Phyla Vell?
Are we? Oh, do we need to?
Well, just really all quick. Right. So she was Captain Marvel. She currently goes by Martyr. Ooh, so tough and scaly.
Everybody
Martyr.
Takes on five names. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, she was Quasar for a while.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my
goodness. She was Quasar.
There's just, like, cosmic characters in Marvel just seem to swap identities like crazy. Even look at, like, in the current, we'll get to, obviously, current Captain Marvel and most famous one, you know, has also had 48 names, so.
Yes. She did have, like, a thing going on with Moondragon, it sort of tied in with Guardian stuff and with Drax, so, like, that's kind of neat.
Yeah,
but other than that, like, not much was done with the character.
True.
Not a whole lot.
There was, and then following that, there are a few short-lived Captain Marvels after that point.
Yes, there are, and this is where we get into some of those. We do get into some alternate timeline things,
there is
but
that.
Then there, in even in the main timeline, there's, and how you pronounce some of this.
Oh, yeah.
Kerner. He was,
I think he's a Connor. Connor.
Just an Irish Skrull.
Yeah. He's already green.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so this is during, like, Secret Invasion time, where a lot of the Skrulls were taking on the identities of a lot of these heroes, and he...
Some of them are like, oh, were they, like, kidnapped by Skrulls and replaced, and, like...
And then the Skrull died.
So, like, a lot of times you're like, oh, yeah, exactly, like,
Elektra? Spider-Woman?
What do you call it? Mockingbird?
Yeah.
Was dead, and, like, that's how they brought her back, was like, no, that was a Skrull that died, and the real Mockingbird was kidnapped by Skrulls and is alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they did the same with Mar-Vell, but no, that was...
But not really. Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of those things where, it's again, his death was basically... Undoing that would be pointless.
A real slap in the face.
Yeah, it would be a slap in the face, but also, like, I don't... Like you said, dying was the most important thing he did, and I mean, like, okay, so you're going to take the most important story and say, this didn't happen.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like a great idea.
Yeah.
So, that Connor, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, Connor. He's Connor.
He's a Skrull sleeper agent. If you really want to call him Knurr.
Gnurt.
So, apparently that was, like, they tried to replicate Captain Marvel numerous times, and he was, like, the 96th or 97th attempt. Most of them didn't even happen. He's one of them.
Cut
and
to
then,
the RoboCop scene of them trotting out all the other different RoboCop ones. The one who, like, tears his own head off and screams in its skull.
Yeah. Except, you know, with that 70s blonde mop top on top.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There is another there is another one that was a Skrull imposter, and he was one of... I don't know if he was 96 and the other one was 97 or vice versa or whatever. Mm-hmm. 2008 Secret Invasion. This was afterwards that I guess he popped up, and this is like 2010. He came up in Ms. Marvel number 8, I believe. And Mystique discovered oh, you're not that character. You're actually, you're a Skrull. And somehow, somehow discovered that and took care of him.
Whoa.
Oh, when you say Ms. Marvel, you mean Carol?
Yes.
Okay.
In Ms. Marvel's.
Yeah.
Right, right.
In Ms. Marvel's, before Ms. Marvel became Captain Marvel.
What?
A couple of years before all that went down.
Yeah, that was 2012. This is like 2010.
Looking at, like, Secret Invasion and...
Just at the end of... This is actually post-Secret Invasion. So it was like just kind of the aftermath. Some things are still...
Secret Invasion Fallout.
Yeah, exactly.
That's sort of... That's the thing, right? You think about other... You think about, like, the 80s and stuff you're talking about. Like, oh, this year. Like, the 2010s, that whole area, 2010s, it's just like, What was the stupid crossover that crosses over with everything this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to tell, like, not even this year, with this season.
Do you want to talk about Marvel Boy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just a little
bit.
I really like the design of that white suit with the goggles.
Yeah.
That, oh, is it like the protector with the red?
With the little fin.
That
looks great.
That looked awesome.
And he was in it for about a week and a half.
Yeah.
So that one, Novar, who first showed up in 2000.
Yeah.
He went by Marvel Boy. He had like a bunch of like weird bug powers.
Yeah, he was sort of like almost like a Kree weird space cockroach.
Yeah.
Like they, you know, created him genetically and like use like these weird insecty things.
The fact that you said a cockroach, I did see in the write up, and I was like, "Is that supposed to be that, or did somebody is somebody making a joke?"
Yeah,
they were it's cross between a Cree and a cockroach and something else.
I mean, when you think about
if
you could like take it's like cockroaches can't be killed by fucking anything. So let's just take a little of that and put it in a human shaped boy.
A human shaped boy.
Yeah,
there's the title of the cockroach episode.
And he just keeps crawling behind the stove.
Yeah.
Like, get out of there!
Oh my god. Never.
No, I like it. It's
and
dark.
Took and much like a dog behind the stove.
He keeps showing up. They can't get rid of him in the Marvel Universe. He's been pretty.
That was a thing in that Illuminati book that I think you read a little while ago. Because I read it after that, where like all the Illuminati sort of show up after he gets arrested and they're like, look, you can be a real piece of shit if you want to.
Yeah.
But if you do, we're probably going to kill you.
Yeah.
So.
Because he was the edgiest boy. It was 2000.
Yes.
It was just, you know, I think like at one point, didn't he like literally like spelled something and just blowing up like city blocks? Basically, it was just.
Well, he basically showed up and was like immediately thinking, they're all my enemy here and just started. Yeah. Yeah. And then they, isn't it like they grabbed him and
it
they.
It was year 2000 Grant Morrison. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I feel like Miller had a hand in there at some point.
Maybe.
Well, yeah, that, it was what Grant Morrison.
A lot of stuff
and,
in that book seemed Millery.
Yeah.
And J.G. Jones.
Yeah.
He joined the Dark Avengers, so we know it was during Dark Reign.
And that's when they had sort of villains or like more morally ambiguous characters taking over the identities of, it was like post-Civil War and all of that, or post-everything, Siege, I don't even know. There's too many.
I think, Siege is what, and Civil War is what started that, and Siege is what ended it.
And then it was Dark Reign, is that?
Dark Reign was in the middle.
It was in the middle of that, yeah.
Oh, what? Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Yeah, I don't know what order they're in.
Yeah.
But
it was like Moonstone was...
Miss Marvel.
Was Miss Marvel.
And he was being the,
He was Captain Marvel. That's when he was Captain Marvel. That's, you know, the five minutes that Marvel used that name for him. And then the Supreme Intelligence contacted him, and it's like, here, have this sweet protector costume. And it was awesome, and he wore that for like 5 minutes, and then immediately went back to being Marvel Boy.
Yeah. Was it around like the Young Avengers time?
And then he became part of Young Avengers.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed.
And seemed to calm down.
He like hooked up with Kate Bishop, and
she had a calming influence on him, I think. Yes. I don't know. He seemed like he was more just like cool and aloof and kind of like weird.
His cockroach hormones were out of control.
Yeah. He became a little bit more charming, I think.
Yes.
A little dangerous, but not as dangerous.
Yeah. Like one of those boys, I wish I could tame him.
Yeah. Mm. But like, you know, the kind of bad boy that can be a main character of a team book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's that one.
Yeah.
And then we get to Carol Danvers.
Right.
Who, in 2012,
Sorry. No.
There are probably others in there, and
It was part of all new Marvel Now point.
Yeah.
Now.
Point B fucking Q. I don't know.
Point exclamation point.
Yeah, exactly.
So she'd been around since, like, what, like 1977?
Yeah. 1968 is what I got.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, she was, that's when she became Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
Is the 70s.
Carol
but she appeared a year into Captain Marvel.
Yeah, true. She was like a supporting character, just as Carol Danvers.
Yes.
So she was kind of like Green Lantern and Carol Ferris, that sort of relationship.
Yeah.
Like the military or industrial complex kind of thing.
Right.
Connection, just a human.
She was the military liaison sort of thing.
Right.
So, but then in...
Friends with Wolverine. Pretty cool.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 77. And then also in 2006, she became Miss Marvel, and then became Miss Marvel again later on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She also was Binary in 1982, Warbird in 98.
Warbird?
Warbird.
I thought it was Warhawk. Who's Warhawk?
I have no idea.
Maybe she was also Warhawk.
Ah, sorry. Warbird.
And then 2012.
Patrick Warburton.
2012, she finally took on the moniker of Captain, I said Captain Britain.
Yeah.
Captain America, you know.
Everybody gets to be Captain America for one issue.
Exactly. Here's a shield. Now fuck off.
I can do this all issue.
Yeah.
The only note I actually have written down about Carol Danvers is, like, this was such a great idea.
Yeah.
Like, that was... And, like...
Well, there's a reason that stuck. I mean...
It's so smart.
You've got the legacy of that and the connection of those characters.
Also, that Jimmy McKelvey costume was sick. It was especially the original. I know that they've tweaked it here and there, and those work fine. But that original look
with that helmet,
I like the helmet and the hair coming out, the fin.
Great.
Like, so good. They should, And that's the bummer, is like she looked like that in the movies for like a few scenes and then otherwise didn't. I'm like, but it looked cool.
Yeah.
Use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, so she's been around since then and will be Captain Marvel.
I would assume.
Oh, yeah. Here on like, that's it.
That's it.
Yeah. And it makes sense because it's, you know, it is honoring somebody she had a close connection to, tied into her own kind of origin. And there's nobody really, like, story-wise, I think that would be the best person to take up that mantle.
Yeah. It's funny that it took...
She actually knew him.
30 to 40 years for it to happen.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But that almost makes it better.
Yes.
That it's like, it took that long and you've gone through these things and she's gone through interesting storylines herself.
Yeah.
Like her bizarro trajectory.
Yes.
Yeah.
From one point to the other and some horrible stories, which we won't even talk about.
Oh, boy.
Going through stuff. But even just, like, linking to the X-Men heavily.
Oh, yeah.
And then going, like, going cosmic.
Well, involved in all the Brood stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, that was, that was, like, kind of, who was, like, Paul Smith era drawing? I forget. Was that that time? Or I don't know. I think it was just after.
Not sure.
Maybe just, I forget.
I'm not sure. But even just, like, Binary and Warbird, like, the cosmic stuff, then linking back into X-Men, going to the Avengers.
Right.
And just kind of popping up everywhere.
I mean, X-Men are... I have to say, objectively better friends for Carol.
Not all of them.
Not all of them.
Maybe that rogue. Yeah. Nah,
I mean,
not the best of friends.
Listen,
well, look,
listen.
She's tried to patch things up several times over
that's
the years.
That's true. I feel like those two
made Rogue a better person.
It's true. And so, I feel like they're actually pretty chummy now, which is which is lovely. You love to see it.
Yeah. So if you are not aware,
fair
listener, that was it Avengers annual number 10?
Yeah.
Rogue with her absorption powers, usually power absorption, but can absorb more, did that as a villain at this point before she became a good guy.
True.
Absorbed Captain Marvel, well, Ms. Marvel's power and, like, absorbed part of her personality, too. Yeah.
Put her in a coma.
Yeah. To the point where, like, Carol's, like, you know,
lost
consciousness or psyche or whatever imprinted on her was like taking control, and it was wild stuff.
There was a number of that was like my key kind of era or leading up a little bit before that, but into my key era of reading Uncanny X-Men when Rogue was suddenly like this is Genosha time, and she suddenly is like flipping personalities. So then it's like Carol Danvers now, and her and Wolverine, who used to be like CIA liaison partners or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Black ops stuff. So the two of them are in Genosha as like doing black ops stuff, but it's actually Carol Danvers, but it's in Rogue's body. And you're like, what the hell is going on?
And it's so like,
that's the thing about Rogue.
You look at Rogue, and Rogue's obviously a very popular character in her own right. And it's just obviously, but just how pivotal Carol is to Rogue as a character. And it's just like just one of those interesting things.
She was not that interesting of a character before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really kicked her off, gave her a whole different power set.
Yeah, like a moral crisis of conscience kind of a thing, especially something as traumatic as that. I mean, like, that's as far as like writing a superhero story goes, it's good shit.
Yeah.
You gotta have it.
From there,
do you have a bunch of other captains? I heard.
Yeah,
word on the street is.
I'll try to go through some of them quick because some of them are not major things. But did you know that Janet Van Dyne, the Wasp, was at one point a Captain Marvel?
No.
So this is 2013 Age of Ultron number 7.
Oh my goodness!
One of my favorites.
Yeah. So this is like one of those. I'm like, is this alternate timeline? I think it is.
Yeah.
Alternate timeline.
Yeah, it is.
It's Bendis and Brandon Peterson doing this. This is she was part of Tony Stark's Defenders.
Okay.
And basically everybody got nuked at the end of the story, everybody died. But for a little bit, she was
satisfying story.
Yeah.
You
know? Thanks very much. She was the Captain Marvel of that universe. How that happened?
Was she Captain Marvel in name, or what was her power set?
I think she was more in name because I think she still just had like the size changing.
Right.
I think that was her power.
Okay.
Set.
Okay.
But
did she earn the rank of Captain in this universe? I need to know.
Who knows? We were just talking about Rogue. Rogue herself in an alternate universe.
Right.
She had completely absorbed.
Yeah.
Carol Danvers.
Sucked her dry. cracked a cold can of Captain Marvel
and
slammed it back.
Downed it in one shot.
Got a straw out, just to sip out every last drop.
Opened her throat and dropped it down.
She got a key out.
This is 2018 Infinity Countdown Captain Marvel number 1. She had the Reality Stone at this time, too. Like, it was a lot, like, you know, they're just throwing everything in
there. Okay, all right, okay,
so,
all right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she, at that point, was for some reason a Captain Marvel. Because I guess she'd absorbed Captain Marvel, so she just continued on.
Sure.
As
one does.
2006, Next Wave Captain.
The captain.
In Next Wave. Although, really.
You mean Captain F?
Captain.
You bleep that, obviously.
It's Captain Four Skull and Crossbones. Yeah, thank you very much.
He apparently just tried on names left, right, and center.
Oh, yeah.
He was Captain Marvel, Captain Universe, Captain Ultra. And they would say them and then be like, oops, it's taken. Yeah. Kind of thing. So it was really.
He just went with the captain. And then Billy Batson's coming over there being like, hey, listen.
Yeah.
That's mine.
Another one that's like alternate universe, but not like weird sideline Marvel thing. The Amalgam Universe.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, had in the 90s, DC and Marvel together took Captain Shazam, Marvel. Captain Marvel, mm-hmm. and Captain Marvel from Marvel
whichever
and put
one,
them together.
Whichever one was
and
around
called
them.
Them. Captain Marvel.
Makes sense.
Go yep. figure.
Called him Captain Captain.
And he would shout the word Kree in order to change. How stupid
and
is
he
that?
Would shout the word Scree!
Splint!
Craw!
Then, if you remember from the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, there's the Golden Lady, Aisha.
Yeah. Her.
Her, who began as her, who was a partner of him. Him became Adam Warlock in the comics. Like, it's a little different.
And her became Madam Warlock.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa.
That's a name.
So when that's she's, like running the burlesque house.
Len Wein, David Kraft, and Herb Trimp created that character in Alan Davis's Fantastic Four: The End. This is an alternate future.
Yeah.
They always do like
whatever,
the Hulk, the end, the X Men end, or whatever. Yeah. How did they end? She, Aisha, at this point was Captain Marvel.
Okay, oh, I gotcha.
Some way, shape,
neat,
or
neat. That's a lot of Captain Marvels.
Yeah.
Oh,
Captain
still going.
Marvel.
Captains. There's Hulkling.
Oh, yeah.
Teddy Altman.
He's a Kree Skrull.
He's a son of Mar-Vell.
A bit of a Skrull, actually.
Yeah. Half Skrull. In an alternate timeline.
Skrull!
2011 Avengers Crusade, Children's Crusade, something like that.
Yeah. That whole
era. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Then in the Ultimate Universe, there was an Ultimate Captain Marvel.
Right.
Warren Ellis and Steve McNiven. Whatever happened to Steve McNiven?
He's
a fantastic
artist.
Absolutely.
I feel like he's got to be doing something. I don't know.
I have not seen him do much.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know if it's really...
We just all get our phones out.
Yeah, exactly.
Where is Steve McNiven? So this is 2005 Ultimate Secret number one. Mm-hmm. He is Dr. Philip Lawson. And his name is Mar-Vell, but it's M-A-H-R... capital V-E-H-L, Mar-Vell.
It's like their Galactus does a galactus spelled differently. It's like, just, like, that's not better.
Yeah.
Like,
so
it's not better.
What this needs is a few more apostrophes in it.
It's no.
He rebelled against the Kree, much as like in the original universe, and battling Galactus.
Died battling him.
Oh, boy.
And Rick Jones was also his buddy.
Oh, I think you mean Rick Jahones.
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 It's the same Rick Jones, though. It's just ran out of fridges in the 616.
Yeah.
So.
Why
do I? I don't know. That's like, apparently that's his only character trait as far as I'm concerned.
Snacky?
Yeah, he just likes a snack.
So Rick Jones
to play the acoustic guitar in a jalopy out by the old nuclear testing site, idiot.
When that Ultimate Captain Marvel died, Rick Jones took his helmet and his name and became the next one, which is like 18 or 19 now. Rick Jones, he was the second Ultimate Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
He
tried to use his gun one time, it backfired and killed him instantly.
Bang.
That was,
the next one, Mangaverse, number one.
Oh, Mangaverse. Oh,
Marvin Elwood created the son of Mar-Vell and Carol Danvers, who was Captain Marvel.
Hmm, about it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I already mentioned the Mary Marvel thing. That was the Jerry Ordway one.
The Mary Marvel Monitoring Society. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
And then there is Kamala Khan.
Yes.
Who...
Not a captain, but also in that movie, Anna
Marvel.
In the
Ms. Marvel alternate reality,
yeah.
Becomes Captain Marvel in Earth 18138.
Okay.
And apparently was in, I think it was a Cosmic Ghost Rider, and I think I have omnibus.
That's interesting because right now in X-Men comics, and like there's a future thing where she becomes Captain Krakoa.
Mm. Oh, yeah, like the rise of the powers of whatever.
Yeah. the rise of the dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Junior the Ride.
Yeah. And apparently,
and then an X at the end.
Yeah.
And apparently she, at that point, is one of the most powerful
X-Men United.
of the Captain Marvels, where she has like cosmic powers and an adamantium shield, so she's like a captain that way.
Kind of
like
Okay,
all
right.
Okay. All captains have a shield, right?
God, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
and that is the end of my list.
Wow,
wowzers!
So I had 21, but you had that extra one, so 22 total. I believe.
That's a lot of Captain Marvels.
Yeah,
Captain's Marvel. And this, and again, it's the same one. There's one thing that came up I just want to mention. As we're going back to Mr. Billy Batson, there was in the 80s, like 84 or something, there was a pitch that almost got made. It was all like a reboot sort of that whole thing where Captain Marvel was, instead of being the big red cheese, was going to kind of dress... Like, the influences on the look were, like, Prince and Michael Jackson.
Really?
Okay.
And was, like, more skinny and kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
Which would be that version of Captain Marvel.
Cool red cheese.
Yeah, yeah. This was, I think, Roy Thomas.
He's a fromage.
He's a baby bell.
This is Roy Thomas, Jerry Ordway, and I think the artist Don Newton had developed this. And then Don Newton, I believe, passed away right around that time. And then there was a number of other artists that were... One of them was taking too long, and then the other one... It just... Yeah, it just sort of... this was like a dream project of Roy Thomas's, and... Yeah, and it just it ended up not going anywhere, which nobody was happy about. I guess in this, Mary Marvel, which I found was instead of being his sister, was a potential love interest. I guess.
Yeah, I figured
she was like a punk. Was gonna happen. She was like had like a mohawk, like a colorful mohawk, and her name was Spike, and she turned into Mary Marvel. So this was the 80s.
Degrassi Jr.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I was thinking the vampire. Spike.
Oh, it's a flawless Juliet Landau.
It's, yeah, I'm
flawless.
Swish.
Yes. So yeah, that was something that almost happened. Mm. It's a variant thereof. So does that count as something different? No.
Yes.
But it's an asterisk. It's an asterisk.
It's an asterisk.
Yeah. So it's 22 and a
potential,
half. 22 and a half.
There we go.
Weeks.
Yeah.
And there you go, folks.
Later.
Later.
Oh, did we cover every Captain Marvel?
Oh, probably not.
I need a nap.
If you know of a Captain Marvel we missed, you can tell us about it.
Yeah.
You can contact us through Facebook, Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Mm-hmm. You can look there.
Mm-hmm.
Or on Instagram, Zero Issues Pod.
Mm-hmm.
And let us know, is this too many Captain Marvels? Is it too many Marvels or not enough Marvels? Mm. Should there be more Marvels?
Or is that Marvel just right?
Yeah.
Ooh. Personally, I think it's Marvel Madness.
Mm. Goldilocks Marvel.
Mm. Let's play Marvel Madness.
Yeah, let's play Marvel. You know what? Let's play Marvel Madness 2.
Ooh.
It's 3-player.
Only 3.
Oh, that's all there are for
That's it.
That's it. Speaking of 3, there's 3 of us, and let's tell people who we are. My name is Kyle Lees, and you can check my stuff out at thekylelees.com. Or the Kyle Lees on Instagram.
Don't just settle for any Kyle Lees.
Mm-mm.
Find Go the Kyle Lees.
When you have your choice of Kyle Lees's, choose the best.
Mm-hmm.
Choose the.
All right. I'm Bri Kotick. You can find my comic at welcometohereafter.com. I don't know why I said it like that.
I like it.
It was just a bit of fun.
You should always do that.
Well, I might. I might check it up. You don't know. You can also find me on social medias. Brykotyk is my name. And
don't worry about it.
Feel free to wear it out. Wear it out. Tell everyone. Or don't.
All right. I'm Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca. Merc on Facebook, Mercanaut Like Astronaut on Instagram. As always, thank you to KP Merkley, Kenneth Preston Merkley, Ocean City Defender, who does all our music, every piece of music that you hear and have heard from the start of this podcast for how many years? 10 years?
Just about 10 years now.
Almost. Jeez.
Yep.
Wow.
Gross.
Oh.
He's done. He's been with us from the start, helping us along the way. We're almost due for a change.
We might, actually.
We haven't thought about that in a while.
We crossed the 400 threshold about 10 episodes ago.
I'm thinking jazz.
Yeah.
Just scat the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I believe and he also is a Leisure Class Audio, was it? Leisure Class Audio. Check that out. Does music stuff. I'm not a musician. But I gotta tell you,
he does like plug in stuff that like little bits and creating sounds. Like, here's your drum sound. Here's this sound. And he creates all that stuff.
Stuff you can like throw into GarageBand or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Check it out. Cool. Anyone else to thank?
Captain Marvel.
And you, the listener.
Yes. You're the fourth Captain Marvel. No, wait, that was...
24th Captain Marvel.
Let's
see, that was Janice Vell, I think.
Yeah,
that might have been Janice.
It depends whether or not you count... Wait, so okay, the first one was... Might be Monica Rambeau. You're Monica Rambeau.
We'll see, you're in a movie!
We'll see you in the movies.